Sportscast, July 23rd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, you can visit us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest in sports. Today is opening day for Major League Baseball, the long day awaited for many fans. Baseball is America's pastime, a sport that everyone enjoys. But this year will be different. The season will be shorter. There'll be no fans and no peanuts. Today, join us to flesh this out, what's going to happen this season, and to preview this season and the new rules. We got two guys from Juke Sports. Juke Sports, Mr. Myers and Mr. Kotz, Kyle Kotz, Jake Myers and Kyle Kotz, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to have us on, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having us here. Yep. Fun stuff. Excited to chat out some baseball. Yeah.
So, guys, tell us a little bit about yourselves and about Juke Sports.
Yeah, so for sure. So, Juke Sports, we're a relatively new podcast. I think we consider ourselves more of a sports comedy type of podcast. I mean, we touch on pretty much everything in terms of sports, but whatever else we feel like talking about as well. So we've been around about 14 weeks. We do a lot of different segments, some lists and closing statements, things like that. But our big bread and butter, football and baseball. So we're excited to be on here and check it out. And if anyone out there wants to check us out on Twitter, it's at Juke Sports One. You can give us a follow. In honor of baseball, we're actually doing a little giveaway today too. So we have a post out there to give away a free Ken Griffey Jr. jersey. So check us out and hopefully you guys enjoy what you hear.
Jake, can you tell us why you guys named this Juke Sports?
So this is a funny story. So we are from northeastern Pennsylvania in a little coal town called Nanticoke. And in Nanticoke, a juke is a kind of referred to as like a common person, to say that the best. So we figured that the word juke, most people know it as a football term, like you juke someone out. But we felt that it'd be like a nice little double meaning that people from our hometown kind of get it, kind of like a wink to them. And we just kind of ran with it. So, yeah, that's how Juke Sports kind of started.
I like it very much. It's different. I've never heard the word juke before because I was thinking of JUCO college football. But, no, it's Juke, J-U-K-E.
It's funny you say that, actually. Some of my background, I actually coached 3 years at Lackawanna College, which is one of the premier JUCO colleges in the country. So that's funny you say that because someone else actually asked me the same thing. It's because of your background at Lackawanna. I said, no, actually, it's not. I kind of had to get into the story. But, yeah, it's funny you say that.
Yeah. So let's get into baseball. Of course, we took a couple of months, maybe 3 to 4 months to get things going. Tell us, guys, what's your opinion? How did this lead to today, the whole preparation with the union and also with the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite the show. I think the craziest thing is because everything's been so public. So the players, you know, with Twitter and things like that, been putting everything out there. I'm a Cleveland Indians fan, so I'm a big Trevor Bauer fan. So he was very vocal on Twitter about what's going on with the negotiations. And I think that's why it's so different than anything else we've seen, because everything's been so public and everyone's been on, whether you're on the side of the players or the owners, however you want to think about it. I mean, there's old school traditionalists who are always in the camp of saying you should just play because you love the game and don't matter what. And then there's the newer millennial type of camp who hear what the players are saying, get what they want, and they're just trying to understand how to do it. So it's been interesting to see all of that unfold and how we really got here. I know a couple of weeks ago, Jake and I were talking about, like, how's this going to look? Like, 60 games seems too short. Like, we were saying, does 80 games work? Is 60 games, does that mean there's an asterisk if you win the World Series? I mean, it's so short. But I think now, the more that I think about it, I'm just excited to see how it unfolds, because there's going to be a lot of strategy with it, especially with some of the rule changes. And 60 games in general is going to be interesting to see who gets off to a hot start and who doesn't, because if you don't, it's going to be interesting to make up some ground and how those teams could do it.
Jake, 60 games. What are your thoughts? You think that's too short for baseball, or you think it's good to follow the philosophy where there's less, there's more?
I mean, it's one of those things where I think a lot of fans like ourselves, one, are just happy we have baseball right now. I really think we could have gotten a 90-game or an 80-game season, but with negotiations falling through, we didn't quite get there. But I do believe that baseball now, people are going to be locked in from the start all the way to the finish. I mean, I know a lot of baseball fans, they're excited in the beginning, opening day, and then there's like a three-month or two-month stretch where no one kind of cares because you have the NBA Finals going on, you have hockey, Stanley Cup Final or Stanley Cup playoffs going on. Now, we've been starved of sports for so long that this 60-day season is going to be like a horse race, and everyone's going to be locked in until the end.
You think baseball stands out at the most because right now the NBA and also the MLS are meeting in Orlando, but with MLB, the teams are able to travel to each other's stadiums, except Toronto, though. What do you think about that? You think it'll be complex because of the whole virus, or do you think this might stand out when it comes to world of sports finally?
I think it's going to be interesting. I think you hit on one thing that's going to be key there because, like you mentioned, MLS and NBA are quarantining in Orlando in the bubble. MLB's not doing that. We're not going to have fans there, but the teams are still traveling. So how that impacts, I mean, that interaction there, how they're going to keep away from contracting COVID and spreading that, that's going to be the key there because if someone gets it, that they miss a test or it doesn't happen, that could cause a breakout and that could be the end of the season. So that's the key thing to me because they'll be coming home to their home crowds. They'll be going back home, interacting with other people outside of the teams. So I think that's going to be interesting to see, and knock on wood, hopefully nothing like that happens and there isn't a breakout, but that's the one thing that worries me with getting through even the 60 game season with where we're at right now is how all that's going to shape out.
Now with the Blue Jays not able to play in Canada, and also they cannot play in Pittsburgh because Pennsylvania won't let them for some reason, I believe they'll be going to Baltimore. None of these games will have fans. Not watching, you know, like the Bundesliga and like the Premier League over there in Europe, like having no fans, there's no like home field advantage. How do you feel about that, having no fans? Do you think it will benefit like the away team more? Or
So this is a question that I've been really thinking about because it's one of those things where I think it's going to be strange for both home team and away team. And I think it's going to take a little bit of used to, but I mean, when push comes to shove though, these guys are professional athletes and it's almost going to revert back to, you know, when they were either one playing in college or pop, maybe even high school, you know, they're still going to be great. It's still going to be a great game. I mean, I'm a fan of the fake crowd noise. I think fake crowd noise is good. I think that'll at least give you a little bit of that feel if you're an athlete, but I mean, yeah, there's going to be no fans. It's going to take a little bit to adjust, but luckily they've been playing games in front of no fans for the last a couple days. So I think they should have the I think they'll be accustomed to it by now.
Yeah, I believe, I'm not sure if they'll be doing it for baseball, but I know in Europe they like the players don't hear crowd noise. It's just the audience and in Germany you're able to turn on the audience crowd or have no crowds on crowd noise. So it's going to be quite interesting how things are going to be done. Let's look at the rules for this season. One thing that stuck out was the like the DH rule, which is means hitter overtaxing pitchers by having them hit. Can you explain that rule, the DH rule?
Yeah, so a universal DH rule this year is a cool take. I think it should be adapted moving forward. So essentially what traditionally what happens is in American League, there is a DH. which just a guy who doesn't play the field but bats for the pitcher. But in the National League, there the pitcher actually bats. So there's no DH there. So this year, to make it a little even playing field, in the National League, they'll be able to have a DH too, bat as well. So it's key that that's going to be universal, because one, it takes away from the advantage when an American League team plays an NL team and the pitchers for American League teams then have to bat. So there's no advantage anymore for the NL team there. But it's just going to be a great new wrinkle that I think if it should work out, I think it might be adopted moving forward. There's been talks about it for years now of trying to adapt this in both the and the NL League as well. So I think if all goes well this year, we could see it definitely stay in there moving forward with it.
For the regular season, every half inning after their like the ninth will begin with a runner on
second
base. If that runner scores, the pitcher won't be charged with an earned run. What does that mean?
That it's a way that necessarily is more of a stat thing. The runner starting on second base is a way to speed games up, knowing that this is going to be a 60-game season where it's shortened in a sense, but they're going to be playing so many back-to-back games and more games. It's a way to not have these longer extra inning games go way into the night at 11, midnight in the morning. The earned run stat, it's just because the player's starting on there, it's not going to affect the pitcher's stats for long term. So it doesn't really have any impact on the game per se, the earned run, but it does have an impact on the individual stats, which, you know, could play a factor in how people look at these stats from a historical standpoint moving forward, because there's all these little wrinkles in there.
Mm-hmm. And another rule is there will be no restrictions on position players pitching. What does that mean?
You want that one, Jake, or should I?
You know what? You do pretty well with this, Kotz. So I'm going to let you take this one.
Kotz looks a little comfortable.
Yeah, I talk about everything. I talk for all day.
That's
day.
Okay. It's good.
So this one's just pretty much in the past. There's been some restrictions on when a position player, so someone not a starting pitcher or someone in the bullpen, can come in and actually pitch in a game. This year, because again of the shortened season and how things are going to be impacted with back-to-backs and maybe some potential doubleheaders, they're opening it up to anyone. So historically, you've never seen like someone who plays second base or right field come in and actually pitch in a game, unless you have one of those long 18-inning, extra-inning type of games where the team has already exhausted their bullpen and has no one else that could pitch besides some outfielder who pitched in high school. So now there's not going to be really any restriction on it. I don't think we'll see really anything with that unless the team's getting blown out and, you know, they have to save their arms for a game that they could actually win. So maybe you might see a right fielder who pitched in high school come in the eighth or the ninth inning more frequently this year than in the past.
Now, Jake, have to go with you. At this new rules changes, there's actually no way that a player can spit during the game. Do you think that's possible? I mean, can a player try to avoid spitting?
I mean,
I'm glad you picked Jake for this question.
So here's my thing on it. I don't know.
No tobacco.
Listen, I played baseball. I played baseball in high school, and I was a guy that was consistently spitting. You know, it was just something that you did. Now, this is really going to hurt the baseball players that are accustomed to chewing tobacco, because they have to spit unless they gut it, which is very disgusting.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's all going to work. I really find it hard to believe that if a guy's playing, you know, the infield or whatever and spits on the ground and then puts the dirt over it, that they're going to fine him for that. But it sounds like the rules, that's what's going to happen. I hope it doesn't, because, I mean, come on, you're a baseball player. Sometimes you just got to spit.
Yeah, that's something that I kind of noticed in baseball a whole lot. I was watching it was a game in Germany. There's a lot of coaches spitting, which they were not allowed. But I guess they eventually had to learn not to spit. Of course, you know, they want to prevent spreading like the virus if they had it or not, but who knows. Kotz, roster, how significant will they change like the whole roster rules?
So I don't think there's going to be – it's going to be interesting because there's no minor league this year. So that's a big impact.
Oh, there isn't?
Yeah, no minor league baseball this year. So that's where it gets a little interesting in terms of the roster. So they'll be able to still have their I believe it's a 60-man roster that they have available for guys that could come and join the team when needed that are on the major league roster first. And so there's some guys that – are in AAA that aren't on the major league roster that can't be called up. But that's going to be extended this year. But it's going to be interesting to see how, if any of those guys, barring injury, gets the chance to play, because they're not going to be getting their at-bats or the work in the minors like they typically would. So it kind of puts a hindrance on that. The biggest thing for me, though, in terms of rosters this year is going to be when it comes to pitching. I'm curious to see, because of the shortened season, how your typical five-man starting pitching rotation takes place, if teams are going to stick with that, or if they don't really have a strong fifth starter, if they're going to use their top four and just go with a four-man rotation, trying to get more and the most out of those guys, knowing that they won't get as many starts as they typically would in a full season. So that's what I'm curious to see, the strategy behind some of the starting pitchers and how that's going to play out over the course of the season.
What was the reason for the cancellation of the minor league season?
So I think everything comes back to money, unfortunately. I think that they realized that a lot of those minor league teams don't bring in the revenue that they need. And with having those minor league teams, it just could increase the chances of, you know, some COVID outbreaks and spreads. So I think it's more, I think if anything, I won't say it's all about the money, but I think that had a big factor on the business decision. But I also think, you know, the health concerns for that. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of TV rights and TV money in the minor league stuff, if any. So trying to just get the MLB up to speed and a 60-game season, it was probably the key factor and the biggest priority for them.
Yeah. So the regular season starts tonight, 60 games, and they'll play until September 27th. And the playoffs, a postseason tournament, which is what they're calling it, will begin 2 days later, the 29th of September. They still haven't settled this all together. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they just do a normal postseason, or you think it'll be kind of different, like the NBA will do?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take this one, and Jake, feel free to jump in. I think it's going to be – I think they're going to net out with doing something similar to what they normally do. I think it'll be three division winners, two wild card. I think maybe, though, the wild card in the first round playoff games might – that's where, like, the series might take shape and change a little bit. Maybe you have three-game series versus your typical five- or seven-game series. That's the only difference, I think, is going to really change, in my opinion. I don't think the format of how many teams are going to make the playoffs is going to be too much different. I think that's going to stay suit, but I just think they might, depending on how the season progresses, change the number of games in each series.
Hey, Jake, you remember when they were thinking about doing a tournament in May? They were going to do it in Arizona?
Yeah. So we actually talked about this. The West Coast teams were going to go to Arizona, and then the East Coast teams were going to go to Florida. And we were talking, and we thought that was going to be a pretty cool idea, just because that you're going to have all those originally. They were going to have all those Northeast teams, which are big-time rivals. You know, you have the New York teams, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh, all those cities together. And or all those teams together, and the fan bases, and like our friends, we have New York Yankee fans, Boston Red Sox fans, Phillies fans, Pirates fans. So it's kind of cool that like your team's playing against one of your buddies' teams almost every night. Now they didn't go that route. I thought that would have been cool. I think they were going to call it the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League, but it didn't happen. But, I mean, hey, we got baseball tonight, so that's all that matters.
Exactly. And of course, good thing that didn't happen, because I'm not a big fan of the whole bubble thing. I think playing at each other's stadiums a little bit more exciting, even though there's no fans. But mm-hmm. I think each stadium will definitely have their taste or a little touch up to what they do. Predictions, guys. Who do you think will win the World Series, or who will do well for the regular season, and who do you think will win everything, the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that one first. I got a World Series prediction, but I also have a few sleeper teams that I think could be interesting. There's not the Los Angeles Dodgers that are playing tonight, but another team out in California, the San Diego Padres. They have a very young team. Unfortunately, they're in the West Division with the Dodgers, so they're not going to win that division. But they have a very interesting team with Manny Machado out there, Eric Hosmer, some good players out there. Fernando Tatis Jr., he's a young up-and-coming star. So I'm really intrigued to see how that team comes together this year. That's one of my sleeper teams to kind of sneak into the playoffs, maybe as a wild card and cause some noise. I'm going to be biased here. I'm a Cleveland Indians fan, and I think my Indians are suited very well for a 60-game season. They have one of the best pitching rotations in the MLB, so I think that's going to play very key for all teams in there is pitching too, because it usually takes the hitters a little bit to get adjusted to how things are going through a season, get their timing down, et cetera. So I think having a strong pitching staff is going to give any team a really strong advantage. But with all that said, I don't have either of those teams winning the World Series. I think the two best teams are the Yankees and the Dodgers. And I just think both teams from top to bottom are fully stocked and loaded with great talent and great pitching too. You'll see Garrett Cole tonight, and you'll see Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers as well. So I had the Dodgers over the Yankees in the World Series.
Wow, which is interesting, because I've been hearing the New York Yankees all day, so it seems like they are a true favorite if you are saying it. Jake, who do you think will win it all?
All right, so I'm going to go with Kotz's format here. I'm going to throw a couple sleepers in there, and then I'll tell you who I think is going to take the cake. So I'm going to throw out my biased opinion out there. I think a lot of teams are sleeping on the Philadelphia Phillies. I saw a prediction that they were going to go 30-30, and I just thought that number was low. I know it's tough in the Northeast with the teams that they have to play, but I really think if the Phillies, I think they'll get in the wild card spot. I really think they can make a run. Another sleeper team here, this is a deep sleeper, I think, but the Cincinnati Reds. Last year, they had a very strong finish to their season when all hope was lost. They had a shot and made a small run to try and get into the postseason. Obviously, they didn't. But I think that momentum is going to carry over this year. And I'm telling you, I think they're going to be the other wild card team in that. Now, World Series, I'm going to go similar to Kotz, but slightly different. I think it's going to be Yankees Dodgers, like Kotz said, top to bottom. He's got both teams are stacked and ready to go for a run. I know a lot of baseball people have been saying this for a while that, hey, this is the year the Dodgers are going to do it. They're going to do it. I believe this year the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the World Series over the New York Yankees.
That's not a bad prediction. Everyone is saying Yankees. Now I'm currently hearing like the LA Dodgers. Kotz, there has been a few players opting out. Is there any significance with that, or they're just, you know, mediocre players?
There's been a few bigger names. David Price was one to opt out. He was a bigger name. It hasn't been any big superstars. I think it has been some of the older players. And when I say older, they're still young, but in sports terms, mid-30s, veteran type of guys. That have just been, coming off of injury and either haven't had the opportunity to fully rehab, given everything that's going on, or just given what's going on with COVID, it just seems like a smart move to not opt into play this season. And a lot of people, too, are who are married or expecting children, things like that. So, I mean, nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, they got to put their health and safety first. So, but no, nobody too big. There's been a few, but nothing that's going to, I think, have too big of an impact on the teams.
The only one that I see that I recognize from the list I'm reading here is Posey from the Giants, Buster Posey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, he's a big name, but he's like, again, he's towards the downhill of his career. So, but he is a big name. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the Giants are.
Giants are okay with it.
Yeah,
won't lose sleep over it. No. Thank God. But yeah, it's just quite interesting how this league is going to start, you know, and going to play at their home stadiums. Really glad the MLB is pushing forward. And what do you guys think? Do you guys think they'll have some type of audience towards the end of the season or towards like the postseason? Maybe at least like 15% of the stadiums filled.
I think we'll be very lucky if something happens in the playoffs. I think nothing in the regular season, but given where we're at as a country, come playoff time, they might pivot and give us, there might be some fans in there, but I wouldn't expect anything for the regular season. I think our best hope for that would be come playoff time.
Yeah, with the virus being so unpredictable, because, you know, you can feel fine now, but in 2 days, like the whole state could be, you know, all spiked up. So it's just very – is very unknown, you could say, when it comes to this pandemic. Let's go into predictions tonight. The first game of the night is Yankees at Nationals. Who do you got? And give us a score.
I'll go first there. I got the Nats here. So I'm actually a big gambler too. So I bet on deal. Yeah, so anyone out there who wants I call them Cots Locks. This is a guaranteed lock. I got the Nationals on the money line tonight, +150 to win the game. It's great value there. I got the Nats winning. I love Max Scherzer, although the Yankees, again, we just picked them to go to the World Series too. But I got the Nats tonight with their ace on the bump. And for score prediction, I'm going to go, let's go 5-2 Nats.
5-2 Nats, world champions, wins their opener. Jake, who do you got between the New Yorkers and the Capitalists?
So I am going with Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees tonight over the Washington Nationals. As far as a score goes, I think it's going to be a low-scoring matchup. I think the hitters, it's going to take the hitters a little bit of time to kind of get going. I'm going with a barn burner of 2-1.
2-1. Wow, that's a really boring night. But hey, it's you know, it's opening day, so it should be fine. Later on at 10 p.m., if Cults is awake, Giants at Dodgers.
This one's a good one too, but this one's Dodgers all the way. Clayton Kershaw's on the hill tonight against Johnny Cueto, but Kershaw's the superior guy there, and that Dodgers lineup is just stacked. Giants lineup isn't as filled out as the Dodgers, so I expect Kershaw to go 7, maybe 8 strong innings tonight, and I think this one could get a little ugly. I see, let's go 8-1 Dodgers.
Wow.
Well, Jake, say the same.
So yeah, I'm going Dodgers too. I'm gonna go 5-2
Dodgers. 5-2 Dodgers. Interesting. Who is the best hitter in the sport right now?
Ooh, that's easy for me. You want me to go first, Jake? I've been going for Mike Trout. Easy. Yep. Mike Trout's he's the best player. Mike Trout's the best player. Head over heels. Someone else that I'm really a big fan on that I think is gonna get there. I think he's a superstar already. Is a guy out of Atlanta, Ronald Acuna Jr. I'm a big fan of him, but still, no one's got what Trout's got right now. So Trout, head and shoulders, hitter, player, all around. He's number one. Hopefully in a shortened season, the Angels can get him to the postseason, but I still think it's going to be tough.
Jake, who you think is the best hitter in the game right now?
I love Mike Trout. I think Mike Trout is the best hitter. I do like what Kotz had to say, though. Acuna is definitely a rising star and definitely a guy that is going to make some splashes. I mean, he's already made some splashes, but I'm telling you, when we look back at look forward to some seasons down the road, I think Acuna is going to be one of the best guys, one of the top dudes.
Quite interesting. And what is your prediction? What will the SEC college football do this season?
I think they will cave eventually. They will cave eventually and have a just a conference schedule. I think it's the right thing to do. Everyone else is doing it. I know those southern states are a little bit more reluctant to close and put on restrictions, but I think the SEC will eventually do it all, just a conference season.
Cuts.
I'm kind of in the same boat, and the reasoning why is when you look at it from a scheduling standpoint, the SEC's big games are in conference. So those are the biggest games they play. When you look at, like, some of their non-conference games, yeah, maybe it's not like the Big Ten. The Big Ten, we lost a lot of, you know, big non-conference matchups that we normally don't get. SEC teams, maybe they play one big non-conference game, but usually they're playing cupcake teams like an Alabama A&M or something that they're paying to play them. So I could see them going straight conference as well this year, just because those are your big games. Those are your bread and butter games. As long as you have those games, as long as you have the Bamas Alabama and Auburn playing each other, I mean, those games, I think that's what matters. So well, I think
So kind of going off of what Kotz is saying, the only teams that really struggle or really are at a disadvantage, but it's kind of sad to see the non-conference go, are teams like Florida and South Carolina, because they – and Georgia as well, because they have a rivalry from a non-conference game already built in their schedule. Florida's going to play Florida State. Georgia plays Georgia Tech. And South Carolina will play Clemson. And for those teams, those are strength of schedule builders for them. Now, you also have the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Auburns that will play a lower-level Power 5 or, like Kotz was saying, where they pay a team to basically whoop up on.
Mercer.
Yeah, like Mercer, right, the Citadel.
Yeah.
like that. But, yeah, some of these SEC teams have them already built in. So that is a little sad to see those rivalries go for a year. You know, especially for something like Georgia, like good old-fashioned hate is what they call it. I mean, that's been going on for, I mean, hundreds of years.
Something to definitely look at. We'll find out in the next few days. I believe we'll know by next week what will happen with the SEC, that they saved the best for last. What do you guys think about Mike Tyson facing Roy Jones Jr. in September?
That I was pretty excited when I saw that.
I mean, 54-year-old versus a 51-year-old. Not too bad.
I mean, it's gonna be interesting. I don't follow boxing as much as I used to, but Mike Tyson, man, I mean, there's been videos coming out from him the past couple months of him. He's still in ridiculous shape. So the age thing was the one thing, but then, like you said, I thought off the top of my head, I thought Tyson was a lot older, but he's not that much older than Roy Jones. So I was thinking that, yeah, 3 years is nothing really. So it's going to be interesting. So I don't know. I think Tyson's going to go in and he'll get a knockout.
And Jake,
I'll say this, that the viewership of this fight is probably going to be the most since McGregor versus Mayweather.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll be that big, but it's going to be close because it's Mike Tyson.
And people will pay the bills.
For that. Yep.
I know that.
Also, on top of that, I think Nate Robinson is going to box. Was it Jake
Paul, your favorite YouTuber, Jake?
Yeah. I mean, so that in itself, I'm not a big Jake Paul guy. I really don't like him. I hope Nate Robinson knocks him out.
Wait, Nate Robinson, the basketball player?
Yeah,
the basketball player that played for the Bulls. Yeah.
It's 5'8".
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I can't believe it. But might as well include Logan Paul in it.
Have him fight someone else.
Yeah.
Anyways, that'll be on September 27th, I believe. Hold on, let me check the date here. September 12th. So a lot going on that month, you know, baseball ending up a little bit and then boxing. So it's a little bit of a COVID special. Keep things a little bit interesting, guys. It's been tough with no sports previously, but now sports are coming back in the fray. Random poll question on our Twitter. What goes best with vanilla ice cream? The choices are brownie, hot fudge, pie, or cake.
Can it be apple pie? Can it be hot apple pie?
It can be any pie.
hot apple pie goes the best with vanilla ice cream, hands down.
No, easy brownies. Pick. Brownies, man.
You going for brownies, Jake?
Apple pie. Baseball and apple pie. It's Americans' pastime.
These are tough choices, man. When I put these down, any of these suckers could be winners. But anyways, brownies are winning at 39%. Hot fudge is coming second, then pie, then cake last. So pie came third and brownies came first. So it's you know, it's
brownies, man.
They're all pretty good.
I tell you on the show all the time, I know what the people want, man. I know brownies.
Anyways, what is the best way to reach you guys?
Go ahead, Jake.
You got a Kotz. You take it.
All right, sure.
Well, each of you individually as well. So
yeah.
For sure. So reach us out on Twitter at JukeSports1. That's where we, you know, put out a lot of our content. We're very active on their polls, tweeting, etc. Like we mentioned earlier, jersey giveaways, things like that. Going to be a lot more of those as sports continue to come back as well too. So at JukeSports1 for that. You can check me out at my personal Twitter at The Real Kotz. The Real Kotz. I know there's so many Kotzes out there, but check me out on there too. I'm pretty active, more so. And if you guys are any gamblers out there, I do a lot of gambling picks, some daily fantasy picks, and I'll be doing some daily lineup previews for my Cleveland Indians as baseball gets kicked off. And then also, you can check us out on Instagram at Juke Sports as well. So check us out there. And Jake, give him your handle, my man.
Yep. My personal handle is at JEM326054. It's long, so I'll say it again. JEM326054.
And we'll have that in like the notes. So
yeah,
I saw it. It's pretty long.
Yeah, it is. Something I gotta look at changing that one day. But no, hit me up. I'm trying to be as active as I can, tweeting about different sports. Our other account that Kotz listed at JukeSports1, jersey giveaways, we're starting to do different content, tweeting at different personalities, tweeting some inside information if we hear of anything. We're blogging a little bit off of medium.com. So we're always sharing that stuff as well. Our lists, our polls, everything, but definitely check us out.
And definitely check those guys at Juco Sports. I mean, at Juke Sports. Sorry, I said Juco. I'm thinking about college football because one of our contributors played Juco college football. So cool. I always think about that. But anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or at thesportscast1 on Twitter. Tomorrow we'll be recapping what happened tonight. So we'll definitely keep an eye on the games, and it should be a great night of baseball. We'll see how Dr. The Fauci throws his first pitch. We'll see if he doesn't bounce the ball or goes right to the mitt. So we'll see how it goes. Anyways, guys, it's been a real pleasure. Had so much fun, and we'll talk Kotz about fantasy because I've always wanted to do a fantasy cast. I know NFL is coming up, and you guys think it'll start on time? Do you think it's going to be delayed a bit?
I think NFL will start. NFL will start on time. They'll figure it out.
I hope so. What do you think, Kotz?
Yeah, I agree. They're gonna get it done.
Anyways, this is Sleon signing out. Guys, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Hey, thank you too, man.